good tonight to be in the house of the Lord. Appreciate these good songs. And I will mention that Sister Wilkins' funeral, for those of you that don't have the details, will be, the viewing will be here at the church Saturday morning at 10, and the funeral will be at 11. And and then the gravesite, I don't know, there, it's going to be in at Forest Hills. It's in Bryant, isn't it? Alexander, okay. Out off of Stagecoach Road. Yeah, Highway 5. So, and the family, we offered to have food for them after the funeral, but they said they really appreciated everything we're doing, and but that they wouldn't need to us to serve them food after the funeral. This family's probably going to go different directions. And so we won't, any of you have been on standby for that. Brother or Sister Wilkins' son, Phil, did request, too, that no food be brought over to the house. He said he's just in and out too much. But we did mention maybe some gift cards to Cracker Barrel or McDonald's or wherever. And I don't know, have you received any yet, Sister Fisher? Okay. Okay. All right. Well, so check with Sister Fisher on that, and you know, if you, she probably don't need 20 gift cards, but we want to make sure we do something for him. And then they've also requested that it not be too long of a funeral, and in fact, one of the sons said, I don't want any recruiting going on. So, anyway, sometimes, you know, I'm sure that they must have been in a funeral where they got preached at a little bit. I always like to preach funerals because I've got a captive audience and I can preach salvation if I can't preach anything else. But we'll try to accommodate them, not make it too long. Sister Wilkins the day before she passed, Brother Brett was up visiting. He's so good to visit the sick and take care of that need, and she gave him some instructions to write down, and so we were fortunate enough to get for Brother Brett to think of that and to write it down and get her wishes. So I was really thankful for that. One of the things that she requested is that the people in the church that would like to say something be given a little bit of time. I might caution you, if I do want you to have to be able to say something if you want to say something, but don't do any recruiting and don't make it too lengthy. Now, Sister Crow, you could probably get by with it, but you know, in fact, you know, what could they do? I mean, you know, I've been thinking about this, but really, I do want to try to accommodate them. Sister Wilkins was a precious, precious saint in this church, and she was so faithful, and if she wasn't sick, she's here, you know. And then she was always thinking of others, you know, while she was up there in the hospital. When Sister Smith and I'd go up there, she'd always tell us, Brother Al, tell Sister Elsie I'm praying for her. I've been praying for her up there on her deathbed, you know. And so she just came out of that old school, just a servant to others, always worried and wanting to care for others. And so you hate to give up people like Sister Wilkins, but in the condition she was in, you almost feel selfish, you know, to want to keep her, someone when their health is failing and they're just having to fight to hang on, you know. So she knew that it was her time. She told Brother Brett, she said, when he started to leave, she said, I'll see you on the other side. And she said, we won't be brothers and sisters over there. He said, what do you mean we won't be brothers and sisters over there? And she said, we'll be as one. And so, and she told me and Sister Smith when we first went to the emergency room before they put her in a regular room, she said, Brother Smith, I've been thinking about passing away. And she said, I just want you to know that I've made everything right that I know to do. I don't know of anything else I could do to get things right. And I feel like I've repented to God for everything I can. I've got my heart clear. And she said, and I feel like I'm ready to go. I'm tired. And of course, I tried to encourage her. I said, well, you probably won't die this time. And of course, the doctor even told her that, but she knew more than all of us. She you know, she got better, and they put her in a regular room, and then she took a turn for the worse, and she had passed within, you know, the next day, the next evening, she was gone. So the thing about it is, she went easy. She really. Just, you know, seemed like she just sort of went to sleep. It didn't seem like she was struggling or fighting it, or seemed like she was just resting in peace. And so it's gonna look different to look out there and not see Maxine Wilkins, but we know that we'll see her again. She's already served her generation, and I know that the Book of Remembrance has got her name in it. I was thinking about that tonight, coming to church. There's a Book of Remembrance and there's a Book of Life. When you're born again, your name goes in the Book of Life. God knows your name. It's recorded. And if you'll serve Him and be faithful and righteous and just, if you don't make the bride before you fall asleep, you'll be in the Book of Remembrance. You still have life in God's Book of Life in His mind. God still knows who you are. And He will remember you if you've been faithful. He'll remember you if you're His child anyway. But I don't want to be in the resurrection of the unjust. I want to be in the resurrection of the just. Even if I have to come up out of the grave to be in it. You know, there is a type of resurrection when you're born of God. we're all dead in the trespasses of sins, and the scriptures uses it as a birth, to be born again, but also passing from death unto life. You can be made alive or resurrect unto life out of the death of the sin nature without having to go to the grave. But we know that the first resurrection is not, it doesn't take place until you overcome sin and reach perfection. Those that John saw in the 20th chapter of the book of Revelation, he saw thrones and they that sat upon them, and they were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, just meaning that they had made him their head. I used to think if you was in that group, you'd have to literally get your head cut off, but thank God I've got a better understanding of that getting your head cut off won't put you in that group. Just literally, a lot of people die for different causes, but if you'll make Jesus your head, this, he said, is the first resurrection on such second death has no power. And so to be in the first resurrection, it takes making Christ your head. And there's other scriptures that goes along with that we know that it takes living an overcoming life and reaching perfection. Referred to as making the bride. It's also referred to as being a part of the man-child. So there's a lot of different pictures in the Bible that refer to the same accomplishment in God. And really, it's God accomplishing this in you, but you're going to have to do your part. I'm going to have to do my part to make myself available and be diligent enough to do my part in obedience and being faithful. And I was thinking about tonight. I was just, when we were singing that song about the name of Jesus, I was thinking about that because he spoke to Moses and told him that once they got to the place, the promised land, and the place where he would put his name, that they weren't to offer any sacrifices anywhere else. Except the place where he placed his name, which they had been carrying around this portable tabernacle. And the name of the Lord was, with them. They were the children of God Jehovah. They bore his name. They were working in his name. But there was a place that he wanted to put his name. And I was just thinking about how God works. I thought the only place, God was with Moses and all those people. How many of them was there, Brother Durham? Over 3 million people going across that desert, and God didn't let them divide up. And then when they got over in the promised land, the land was divided, not for God's purpose, but for their purpose. It was divided into lots of all that land. God showed them how to divide that up, and every tribe got a certain piece of property, and that was their inheritance. And if you was a man in that tribe, you got a part of that land. And then when you died, your son got it. That was your inheritance. I remember Brother Leninger, one time he was having trouble in Oklahoma City, and some of the people there, well, there's one he put Brother Randy Liniger in. Brother Liniger was more on the general field of as an overseer, and some of the people were having trouble with that transition, and some of them left. And Brother Liniger said, well, you can leave if you want to, but you're going to lose your inheritance because God sent you here. Well, I know that we can't just, you know, we have to realize the law. There's some things that wasn't maintained under the law, but I'm just talking about how God, I was just thinking about how God worked. If you lived under the law in Israel, you couldn't have left the tribe of, if you was in the tribe of Issachar, you couldn't leave that and go over to the tribe of Asher, one of the other tribes. You couldn't go over there and say, I think I'll just move over here. They'd have said, you get back where you belong. This land's already taken. There's an inheritance here for us. Then I thought about the New Testament, about how God worked in the New Testament. Those 12 apostles, and the apostle Paul, how there was a ministry over those churches and over that. You don't hear much about what the saints were doing, but there was an order of God that God set there. It wasn't for God, it was for the people. It's for their inheritance to receive the good things of God that God had for them. He had a way of providing for his people. And, you know, I really want, as we move into a closer walk with God, we were singing that last song. What was it? Oh, Holy Ghost, come in with all your fullness. We need the fullness of God for a restored church. Because I want, you know, I know that I've got brothers and sisters out at the religious world. I know they love God. I know there's called men out there. God called me out of that. And he'll call them out of it. We already know enough of what's in the back of the book. You can't stay in that once God begins to deal with you. You'll never be happy in that. But God has them working out there right now. But eventually God will bring them where they can get an inheritance. There's no inheritance out there in that. There is a book of remembrance. But you'll have to come up and you'll have to find the place where God's placed his name. And so, I appreciate the work of God, and I appreciate God bringing me this way. And I'm thinking about Sister Wilkins. She found this, the body of Christ, by Brother Neptune. Brother Neptune touched a lot of people's lives, and he started several churches. And when I came into the body, he was, I don't know where he was, but I remember him going to Waco. He was in Tyler too for a while. Remember that? And I can't remember where all he went, but he was here in Little Rock, Arkansas, even before Brother Tucker came, and Sister Wilkins, somehow God directed her to him. That's amazing to me that the Lord, she was touched by this message by one of the men in the body of Christ, and even though he didn't establish a work, God sent a man here to establish a church, and Sister Wilkins stayed fast on the job all the time, right up until the end. She was faithful, and so. I think you could say she served her generation. Well, we've still got to finish our course. David, he served his generation, and you may not, you know, you may not make the bride if you die anytime soon. It looks to me like there's going to have to be a restored church for us to make the bride. But if you do all you can do and you serve your generation and you're faithful, you can't do any more when the bride's available than what you can do now. And that's be faithful in all you know to do. Serve Him. Stay dedicated. Work with God. Work in God's order the best that you can. And remain faithful, and He'll be faithful to you. And you'll be counted among the just, or the faithful, or the righteous, or the upright, or the wise, and the overcomers. We've added the overcomer to the list because we realize there's a place in God where you'll have enough power to live above sin. Yet, you won't be perfect yet. You'll have to live above sin for a while. I don't know how long. Until God's satisfied that you've overcome and you've put to death. You've mortified the deeds of the flesh. And the old man is dead. He can't work anymore. He don't have a place to live. And Adam, he was in the garden, and he had the power to live above sin, and he didn't commit any sin. But he wasn't perfect. If he'd have been perfect, he couldn't have failed. And so for us to get back in the garden, we're going to have to get in a place in God that we've got the power to live above sin. And we'll have to live in that until God finally puts the finishing touches on us. And I'm enjoying living for God now. I'm enjoying serving Him and just seeing how God operates the function of the body of Christ. This is the most interesting thing that I've found in the earth. I was out there. I'm thankful in a way. I wouldn't recommend it to any of y'all, but I'm thankful that I came up in Babylon. I came up in the Pentecostal Christian world. And I didn't find this till I was in my 20s. I was in my late 20s, wasn't we, hon? And but I'm glad that I have a history of being out there and knowing something about it firsthand. As one of the things that some of the brethren in the Fort Lauderdale meeting were, some of them, there was a, that was presenting, we don't need anything else restored. What else do we need? I said, well, I can tell you right now we need more because we don't have what they had. we need to be able to heal the sick and raise the dead. Not that we don't get any healings, but we're not doing things on the same level that they were operating in. We don't have heaven. Is whatever we bind on earth isn't completely bound yet in heaven. We don't have God working with us exactly on the same level. But we're trying to qualify for that. I can hear the voice of the bride and the bridegroom in here. And I know that the Lord's called us to this. But I said, let's don't cheapen this. Just because we've never seen a restored church, let's don't get satisfied on this side of Jordan. Let's don't get to feeling like we don't need anything else. And they even started discussing, that you'll never quit being tempted in this life. That you'll have to just keep the old nature down, and when you pass over into the other life, you'll get a new body and you won't be tempted anymore. I said, well, that's what we taught in Babylon. That's what they taught me out there. Just keep from sinning, do the best you can do, and God will fix it for you. Some some of the brothers had a little bit better idea than that. They said it's kind of like running a race. You know, they said you're running this race, and there's a threshold up here. And when you finally reach perfection, you next step, you step over into eternal life. You die right there, and then you're made perfect. I said, how did Paul know he made it? How did he know I finished my course? If you can't know it over here. I said, don't take that. You're not going to take that away from me. I said, you can be born of God over here. Peter said, the Lord has showed me that I must shortly put off this tabernacle. And then some of you brethren, look at this again with me. Think about, let's study this a little more, about Jesus, his suffering in the garden. We've always taught that he sweated, as it were, great drops of blood, that he was going through such a fight and a struggle with the flesh that he hadn't overcome yet, and that he said, Father, if this cup could pass from me. But he said, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. We've always looked at that as he finished his battle and he overcame right there. But I've been looking at that again. I don't see where we would have to say he was tempted at all. That, you know, he was under such burden and such stress of all the sins of the world. You know, we don't know what it's like to have the mind of God and have the whole covenant, a whole new covenant riding on our shoulders to go through a death. He'd never experienced death, but he's seen it. He resurrected people from it, but he knew what it was going to take. And I don't think he was afraid to do it. I don't think that he was tempted not to do it. I think he was just realizing. And the burden, I have felt the burden of the church and the body of Christ till it's almost made me sick. When I was a younger man, when I first came to the body, and Brother Don Patton took me around to all the meetings, my wife will tell you, I'd get sick. Every meeting we'd go to, I'd get so sick. And I had headaches, and my sinuses would get blocked, and my neck and shoulders would get so tight that I was just so sick I couldn't hardly sit through a meeting. Every meeting I was like that. Brother Patton began to see and recognize I was getting sick every time we'd go to a meeting. And one time I don't remember how it came up, we was talking about it. And he said, I'll tell you why you're getting sick. Why you get sick every time we go to him. He said, you get sick every meeting. He said, but you're getting sick every meeting because you're feeling the burden of this. He said, you feel the burden of these meetings. God's putting that on you. God's causing you to feel the burden of this. And when he said that, I just began to think about it. But even for years after that, I felt pressure. I still feel pressure, in meetings. And I feel pressure in every service that we come to. I'm looking for God to show up. I'm looking for the Holy Ghost. Where's the channel? Where's the vein of what God's wanting to say to us? And if we miss it, I know when we miss it. I know when we didn't hit it. And, and I know sometimes God lets us, he wants us to experience that. He wants you to know when you leave out of here and you know rather not, we supped with God or we didn't. He wants you to be honest enough to admit that we didn't when we don't. Sometimes I think he purposely withholds himself from us just so we can experience it. I'd hate to have church and think I met with God and he didn't show up. I'd hate to be that out of touch with what God's doing. And when I came in this body, I felt something I'd never felt before. I felt a covering I'd never felt before. And this ministry taught, look for that. Look for that in every service. Look for it somewhere. If it's a little child testifying, if it's in a song, you know, God bless these song leaders, but we can't put the whole burden on them to hit it every time. Every one of us ought to be feeling on God. God, if you want to come in through me in this service, then let use me. Let me be available. You know, stay in tune. I've seen God come in little children. I've seen a little child get up in a service that's so dry, you couldn't even spit in it hardly. That's just home folk tonight. I wouldn't say that on Sunday morning, but I'll just go ahead and be in Arkansas here tonight. Anyway, but I've seen little children get up and do something, and God would touch the service right through them, and the Spirit of God would fall. And I was taught young, early, to look for that. Look for God, the channel. What is God saying to us? I remember out there, we never even looked for that. We didn't even know how to look for it. They didn't teach to look for it. We just, you know, somebody got up and sang a song. And you know, I mean, I love my brothers and sisters out there, but, I couldn't survive on that now. Y'all spoiled me in here. And I appreciate what God's working on, and I know that this doesn't make us better than our brothers and sisters. It's just God is working on something, and he called us to be a part of the first fruits of it, and he asked us to be faithful to him and stay on the job work for him, because before long he's got to have somebody. There's got to be a garner, and somebody's got to have a voice. Come out of her, my people. There's got to be a place to come to. Somebody's got to be on the job preparing that place. So it's just good to be here tonight. I thought I'd get up and receive the prayer request and the offering. I do want to say I appreciate everyone coming, and praying before service. I think it's just good. It gives a good feeling to a service, and it's working something in our lives just to get here, give God some time and meditation, and to try to call the names of all the different requests. And I like to, of course, I don't, just do it here, but I try to pray for every one of you, all your needs and all that you're going through, and I'm trying to be, I'd like to know the mind of God. If the Lord, what his direction is for our lives. I feel like that's important for the men of God. I'm sure these men up here are praying the same way for you. So I know there's needs here tonight. Let's remember the Wilkins family. Also remember this new family that was here. They've been here a couple times, Brother and Sister Combs and their son. Remember they were here Sunday, and he told me after church that he enjoyed being here and that they're looking for a home church. So keep praying for them. Reaching out to him. I think Brother Vaughn's working tonight. Oh, he's got a class. I think he told me something, but he always lets me know generally if he can't be here. And so, yes, Brother Ron Johnson's sister's husband, she just found him. I think she found him dead. He passed away, and she found him. And so that's why he's not here tonight. Keep remembering David Angelo. Let's keep that need before the Lord, Brother Keith. Brother Dodson, all right. Let's remember that. Yeah. Brother and Sister Wallace called for prayer. All right. Yes. All right. Your teacher and your mom, Brother Josh. Okay. Brother Scotty's looking for a job. I was glad to see Brother Scotty get a good touch from God. He talked with me and let me know that he really wants to try to get his life straightened out and really get God's blessings and get his life connected to God. He got the Holy Ghost many years ago, but he's not been in church for a while, so not really, you know, dedicated serving God. So, but he really had a broken spirit and was asking me to pray. So let's pray with him for that too, Sister Abraham. All right. Just remember that. Yes. All right. Let's pray for Sister Karen. She's having some problems in her health, so let's remember that. Yes, Brother Langer mentioned that he was on his deathbed last week. Wasn't feeling good, yeah. All right, remember that, Sister Cindy. All right. All right. I know there's unspoken requests. Sister Abraham, you want me to... Sister who? Yes, keep remembering Sister Elsie. Brother Wayne's sick too tonight. I forgot to mention that, Sister Painter. Dana Kemp. They life flighted her to Tyler this morning, so remember her. Let's pray for the funeral Saturday, that God will, you know, that the Lord would touch somebody and that the Lord would help us. I don't want to feel like we can do this without God. I'd like for the Lord, wouldn't it be good if the Spirit of God had come in, somebody would leave here, that it would change their life some way. God would touch their life, so that would be such a wonderful thing. Now, Sister Wilkins would like that, I know. So let's pray that God would meet that need. Also, I'll announce Sister Abraham has several, maybe like 100 cassette tapes of services over the last, what, Sister Abraham, 5 years or so? 2003 to... that she said, I hate to just do away with them. So she said, what do you think about us? You know, like maybe if people wanted them, they could buy them and we'd give the money to the mission fund. So she was thinking like two for a dollar. Was that right? So she's got those tapes. So if you don't want to listen to them, well, you could just donate some money to the missions and take them off her hands anyway. Give them to somebody else to listen to. So let's help her out. All right, let's stand. Uh-huh. Oh, yes, yeah, she had a wreck. Oh, that's painful, too. I've had that happen. Shirley Bailey, remember her in prayer. Sister Weiniger's not been doing all that well either. Let's keep her in our prayers. All right, if you would stand, let's ask God if the ushers would come and receive the offering tonight. Precious Lord, oh God, we love you. Thankful for your goodness to us, oh God. These needs, Father, help us. Oh, Lamb of God, Lamb of God. Precious Lord, God, meet these needs. These families that's lost these loved ones and our churches, Lord God, Sister Wilkins' family. Oh God, let her life touch those lives that she was connected with, Lord, even in her death. Brother Myers' family, Lord, remember them in the church in Oklahoma City. Sister Linegar, God, touch her. Sister Elsie, oh God, these that are sick in their body, Brother Gowan, Brother David Angelo, God, raise him up from this sickness in his body, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, precious Lord, touch Brother Scotty. Lead him and guide him. Help him, oh God. Help him, Lord, in his endeavor to serve you and get closer to you. Help him in his job search, oh God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Blessed Lord, blessed Lord. Sister Karen, touch her, Lord. Touch her body. Oh, God, heal her, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise your wonderful name, Lord. Praise your wonderful name. Oh, Lord, hallelujah, hallelujah. All right, God bless you as you give tonight. first I've ever thought about that just like that. Have y'all, if you was in the wilderness for 40 years, you was in the tribe of Asher or Naphtali, and your encampment was either on the east side, the south side, the west side, or the north side of the tabernacle. And there were 3 million people encamped around that. And you had probably a certain place where your tent was. That was your dwelling for 40 years. Have y'all ever thought about that? Just think about it being out in the wilderness and all around that tabernacle. How big an area, 3 million people encamped around there, where your tent was in your tribe, where your encampment was, that's where you was. I wonder how long it'd take to go around the north side and see your friends. You know, but you know, to hunt their tent, how would you know? All their tents probably look just alike. And you'd know you was in their encampment because you'd see their flag. But your place was, you had a place. It's where God put you. I never have thought about that like that, you know, just thinking about, I always be for 40 years. This is where our family is. This is where God put us. I never have thought about that like that. Then when you got over into Canaan, you had certain tribes had certain places. I mean, it's a long ways from, you know, maybe Judah all the way to Dan way up north. You know, for you to travel all the way from the south country to the north, you know, in the same place to see some of your folks. Some of them folks is, you know, you grew up with. You came up, maybe some of you came across the 40 years with some of them. And there they was, you know, they had a place to be. I never thought about that just exactly like that. I don't imagine they done away with a lot of that in the New Testament church. You know, imagine people still working. God had a ministry that took care of them, but I don't, you know, we didn't hear about a punch up and pack it up moving around. But, of course, when the persecution came on, they did flee out of there. So, but I just was thinking about that today, how that would have been. You know, isn't it amazing? I mean, maybe you thought about all that, but I never had thought about it before today. And if you hadn't, well, you got something new to think about.
Coming up and how they mentioned something about, you know, don't try to do any recruiting or whatever. Well, that just brought memories back when I went to my grandma's funeral, and this was like 1983 when my grandma died. And I want to tell y'all something. I was busy living out in the world. I knew that I loved God, and I knew he owned a place in my heart, but, I mean, as far as wanting to be in church and dedicated to the Lord, I guess I wasn't ready for that, but I remember at my grandma's funeral, I remember God started dealing with me right then and there, at that funeral, her last wishes when she died was, first of all, she didn't want to be left by herself until they placed her in the ground. She wanted to make sure somebody stayed with her around the clock. And her other request was she wanted to have a church service with all of her family in church. And so we did. We had a Wednesday night service, and her funeral was like the next Thursday morning. But they had her casket like parked in the front, you know, up there. And we really did have a church service. And I'll never forget that service for the rest of my life, because God started dealing with me, and all the way driving back to Arkansas. And I mean, that's when I started reading my Bible all night long. I couldn't even sleep. I just stay up reading my Bible, and I'm just thinking about Sister Wilkins' family when they're here. And I, you know, they may not know what they want. They may not know what they need. And I say, you know, yeah, pray for her children, because, you know, they're losing a part of her. They're losing her, and probably not realizing, you know. And but anyway, just that, what you mentioned, you know, about what Philip, his request, and I just want to say I'm so thankful for, you know, that experience with my grandmother and how God really began dealing with me at her funeral.
I appreciate being in the body of Christ, and you don't really get a full appreciation of the body if you just stay in your home church the whole time. You need to get out a little bit and see your brothers and sisters who they're supporting you. And you start thinking about anywhere in this whole country you can go, and there's always somebody there. You got friends everywhere you go. You got a friend in Godfrey, Paducah, DeCoin. It's kind of a realization. You start going out, and you get in your own routine around in Little Rock, your job, church, and everything. You start looking around, you get in that rut, And you start going, you go visit somewhere else. You start thinking, all your friends, all these people you forgot you knew, and people you're thankful for, and people you know who got your back when those times get rough. And I just want to say I'm thankful for that. I mean, God's too good to let this church service just sit there and die on a note like that. I want to give and tell them I'm thankful for giving me the chance to travel, giving the chance to get out there and see my brothers and sisters and help lift up their arms and help be with them, help them. Yeah, that gives me strength. And sometimes you got to lift up your brother's arms to get your own strength. And when you start getting out there, it makes you feel better about everything. Because when I got back this weekend, I just felt so much better. I feel like a burden been lifted off my shoulder. I've been happy, been thankful that God gave me a place in this body of Christ.
Before and asked him if he'd be able to, and he said he'd be able to, and so we texted Brother Smith and talked to him, and we took off Saturday morning after I got off work, and the meeting there in DeCoin, it was a very uplifting meeting. There was a very good spirit there just from the time that the service started, and just immediately we got there a little bit early and changed and got ready for service, and not many people there probably knew us other than, you know, our close friends. Rachel and Caleb were there, and the Lucases and a few others from Louisville that I had known. And And but as soon as we got there, they called us back and said, choir practice is starting, and they called us straight back into choir, and they just took us in, and it was, you could definitely feel that same body spirit there, and it was just good getting to meet other brothers and sisters that are along the same walk as we are, and then again, the service in Paducah Sunday morning, it was very good, and just all weekend, it just like Zach said, it was very uplifting, It broadens your view of the body, and it gives you a clearer side of what the Lord's doing, and that it's not just here in Little Rock, and there are other things going on, and He does still have a work, and He is still working, and I was just thankful for that. And then Tuesday, I was sitting in class, in one of my classes, and I messaged one of the youth in Houston, Texas, about a place to stay if I'm able. Not for sure if I'm able to go to the Houston meeting or not, but if I do, you know, I'd like to have a place to stay, and he had offered before. And so I messaged him. Well, after a few minutes, we were talking, and he didn't respond, and then just within about 5 minutes, I got a text from another youth that was in one of the Texas churches, and she forwarded me a message that said, please pray for Jelena and Tori and Rachel, their youth there in the Houston church. They were at college in one of their classes, and they heard somebody walk down the hall shooting a gun, and they're in Houston in their college, and to forward it to as many youth and as many people as you could think to please pray for them and get the word out, and that's immediately what I did. Some people looked back at me in class at one point and said, Brandon, what was going on? You kind of just checked out. And I said, well, I was praying, but I text some other people that I knew, and we got the word out, and immediately just went to praying, and within about 30 minutes or an hour, we got another text back that they were safe and that the Lord had protected them and kept His hand over them, and just the past since yesterday to today, I've just had this huge thankfulness on my heart for the brothers and sisters in the body of Christ, that whenever we needed this situation in Houston and how their lives were in danger, the Lord kept them. You know, and they knew to call out and to reach out to other people, and they knew that their friends would be there to pray for them. And I'm just so thankful for that. It really is a family. And Sunday morning in Paducah, they were talking about that. They were still discussing Sister Carolyn Wood's funeral and the impact and the example she was. Just like, you know, Sister Maxine has been here, and I was thinking about that and how it related to my life. And they mentioned how we must carry this torch on, and we must keep going on, and the example that they have set, Sister Maxine and Sister Woods and several others. And I was just thinking of how important they are in our lives, and the role models they've been and the examples. And I want to continue that on. You know, I had them to look to as examples, and I want to continue that on. Brother Kyle Morgan talked about that Sunday morning, and he really stirred up my heart about we've got to continue on and run on in this race. And you know, I'm just so thankful for that we can go and we can seek strength from others. And other than that, I just wanted to express that of how thankful I really am for this body of people. You know, I could be many other places, and I've had choices to go other places, but I do. This is where I feel my home, and this is where the Lord's directed me, and I'm thankful for that tonight.
Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord.
I wonder if anybody could give us a brief history of the Little Rock Church, how it started. You know, I mean, I heard that Brother Neptune was here, that Sister Wilkins, but I know there was other ministers that came in. I don't know exactly, you know, the exact history of how it all would be. I think everybody here would like to know. You know, we don't want to hire a sermon on it, but we'd just like to know how it all came about in its beginning before Brother Tucker actually got it established. Anybody got that history? I know Brother Weiniger, you and Sister Joyce probably have as much, but I don't know if Sister Weiniger was telling me that her dad, Brother Tucker, and Brother Neptune went down to Hot Springs together. But I don't know. I don't know the very first, you know, the very beginnings of you know, how many men came here, who they were, and before Brother Tucker came and actually was able to get something established. Has anybody got any information on that you can share with us?
Tamir was in Little Rock, I think, last North. Well, maybe so. To me, it was just
Brother Tamir, and he was in. He was the pastor in Cape Girardeau after that.
Later.
Just for those of you that might not know that.
So,
Brother Tamir?
Do you know?
Brother Neptune. What year? Brother Tucker come in 64?
When we, Brother Jolly, closed the church in Hot Springs and told Daddy to move back to St. Louis, that was 55. And when we got there...
Was your dad in Hot Springs in 55?
He was from 51 to 55 in Hot Springs.
Okay.
And then when we got to Brother Jolly's in St. Louis, Brother Neptune was there. So I remember him all along there, but I don't know if he had came to Hot Springs first and then took Daddy there from Lebanon or what, but I know that that's how Daddy got to Hot Springs with Brother Neptune.
You know when Brother Tucker came to Lebanon, got under, when he got saved there?
Yeah, that
or
was
not
probably,
got saved, but when he got his vision
right
of the body, and that was under
I
Brother...
I think that was in 48, Brother Wampshire.
Brother Wampshire, yeah, in Lebanon, Missouri.
It's somewhere 48, 49. And then he moved, we were in St. Louis from 55 to 64, I guess. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it started here.
In 62 is when he first came down here.
He opened in Brother,
Brother Foster's home. 62, and then they moved in 64. Does anybody know when Sister Wilkins came in with Brother Neptune? Okay. That would be good.
They had a church in North Little Rock. She was in that.
Right. In Benton. Oh, North Little Rock. Where was Brother Hampton from?
Sister Crockett.
Where? Brinkley.
Yeah.
When'd y'all come down here, Sister Crow? Yeah. Who was pastoring then?
He was our pastor.
Brother Hampton? There's a lot took place back there, Brother Keith.
A lot of moving. A lot of moving going on.
They'll turn it on up there if you can get it back on. It's on. Brother Fowler.
Brother Fowler. I don't know his first name, but Brother Foster told me Brother Fowler started to work in 1946. He was the first that was in Little Rock that I know of.
Was he in the body?
I'd have to ask this. I got my information from Sister Mary Tony and Brother and Sister Foster. Well, that's where I got some of my information.
Okay.
But they got introduced to the body somewhat under Brother Fowler.
Sister Crow, Brother Hampton was y'all's pastor when you came in 53? Okay, did he move here and y'all moved here because he moved here? I ain't the only pastor that's moved around. The saints followed him, huh? Yeah.
Anyway, we was the first family that moved, and then Brother Foster come and live with us for a while and worked on his job, and then the other people began to move. And, of course, some of them, they went back. They didn't stay, but some of us stayed. Still here.
Still here.
We're just glad we're here.
Yeah. Well, but, you know, for everybody else that wasn't back there, I'm sure they'd like to hear some of that, you know.
I remember in 61, Brother Tucker was traveling down here by bus, and I remember I had a furlough one weekend, and I went home, and he brought me back through here. I brought him back down here. That was in 61.
You're on your way back to Boston.
I was born with Joyce, but we weren't married at that time.
You weren't supposed to be messing with her that young.
No.
Yeah, take that off the tape.
That was when
yeah, you might as well leave it there. Everybody knows that's right.
That's when they were having church in Brother Foster's house.
All right. And where was that? Was that out here, Wet? Out there?
Forest Dam Pike?
All right. Well, yeah. Well, they were.
Several ministers come in and took part. 30-some of our people walked out at one time.
Is that in 65?
Yeah.
Before that, huh?
Yeah.
That must have been when the... Was that when the Dale Carnegie courses was going on?
That's when Brother Tamir and them started a church then. But they got 30-some of our people walked out at one time because I was there. So. It's
That'd
quite
make
a lot
a preacher
of history.
Sick.
If you get it all together, there's a lot of history here.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of history in the body. After Brother Jolly, after Brother Souders died in 52, he put Brother Jolly in charge. And Brother Jolly was in charge basically over the body. And this body of people was a pretty rough-shod group of people. And no doubt God chose it that way. It was, they were just a bunch of farmers and coal miners and tobacco raisers and growers, and they came to church in their overalls and they weren't real educated and didn't have a lot of polish. But that's how God does things. There's not many mighty, not many mobile, wasn't very many, wise, but God takes something out of nothing. But Brother Jolly saw that if this body was ever going to reach the world, our vision was ever going to be fulfilled, that this thing's going to have to clean up a little bit. And so he began to try to get everybody to wearing suits and ties, and they even started schools for the women and wearing uniforms, or all white skirts and blouses to serve in the dining room. They had to go to etiquette classes to learn how to do things right, and even how to serve a table or set a table where the knives and forks and spoons are supposed to go. He began to do all that, and then he got men. He got all the men going to Dale Carnegie courses to learn how to talk. They were so rough shod, and then that's when briefcases come in. Back then, when they had briefcases, there was men chafing under that because it was too formal for them. They said, "Brother Daddy Merle in Springdale said one day he would come back to church and he they said he got to talking and he got so mad he picked up his briefcase and just throwed it halfway across the church. He said, I'm done with Dale Carnegie, and I'm done with briefcases, and I'm done with T.M. Jolly. He was so mad. And there were some men back then that pulled out. Brother C.O. Dixon in Oakland, California pulled out. Brother Dawkins, Brother not Gordon's dad, what's his first name? Brother Dawkins' his first Gordon. Name, Sister Lacey.
Sounds like Gordon Dawkins.
No, Gordon's daddy, R.E. That's the one I wanted.
Yeah.
R.E. They moved the church from California to Kansas City.
I sent her Brother Dawkins when I was a very young girl.
Brother Mullinaw was in Kansas City. Brother Jolly had him to move. Brother Mullinaw's church had a walkout, way a lot more than 30 people. But Brother R.E. Dawkins pulled his church out. He had about 7 or 8 churches to his right, and he established those churches. So there are some. Even though they was preaching, we got to stay together and we got to be one and all that, they was having trouble figuring out how to do it. And it was hard for, they hadn't learned yet how to bear with one another and be long-suffering and gentle and to have the right spirit with all lowliness. And yeah.
They didn't respect his size nor his.
Brother Weiniger said most of them were older than Brother Jolly, and they felt like this young boy was running this thing amok. Then of course there was a split in 65. There was real problems there. That was the big division, but all these groups. You know, God's been kind to me. I've been out to Oakland, California. I've been to Brother C.O. Dixon's work out there. And Brother Patton took us out there. We visited out there. Brother Jefferson, which came out of that work. And D.L. Jones was under Brother Jefferson. But Brother Jefferson never could hardly make it back in. Like he never did fully make it back in. But he was out there in Los Angeles, close to Brother Mears in Chino. And every time we'd have a Chino meeting, well, they'd go see Brother Jefferson. They'd get him to come to that meeting. They never could get him fully connected. But God brought his right-hand man, Brother D.L. Jones. And when God began to heal all this, Brother D.L. come back in. And then, so a lot of things have happened over the years, but God's working on, he's still getting his people back together that's been touched by this message. And some of them couldn't stay connected. Things happened. Some of them never made it back. No. Oh, the School of the Prophets. Yeah, that's what they called this. The School of the Prophets. You can find some reading on that, even on the internet. Some of it ain't so good, but some it's not all true. Some of it's not true, but some of it is still not good. I know some things that was going on way back when I came in. Not good, you know, but God's continually cleaning up this ministry, and it's becoming more and more safe place. And so, anyway, I'm glad I'm here. Hallelujah. What a vision. There's been times, I'd have to be honest with you, and I don't know if you're being honest if you hadn't suffered the same thing, but either that or you just hadn't been here long enough. But there's been times that I thought, I can't stay with this. You know, there's been times I thought, I'm leaving. I'm telling you, I come in here Sunday morning, the Spirit of God touched me. I thought, God, how could I ever leave this? How could I leave and not ever feel this again? I never felt this any other place. What I was feeling Sunday morning, I never felt it any other place. But right here in this body, I thought, God, how could I ever even think? That touch makes such a difference, doesn't it? How many times have you been down and discouraged, or, you know, but then the Spirit of God come in and touch your life and you think, oh God, my vision's been renewed in this rich covering and Spirit of God that's touching us. All the things we've heard that you won't hear anywhere else. Oh, hallelujah. I thank God that he's been there for me, you know, to help me through those times. I don't even like to admit that, because I'd like to say, you know, I hope I can say it from here on out, that I ain't never been tempted, you know. Never thought about leaving from, you know, a certain point, that I finally reached a place that it don't even enter my mind. I never let a thought like that enter my mind, you know. God wants us there, I know. I don't want a testimony that I thought about leaving, but God helped me get over that. I'd like to say I got to a place that I don't feel that way anymore. All right. Anyway, let's stand and give him a praise before we go home. Brother Pryor had to go to the Conway shop. A motor blew up. These UPS trucks run every day, you know, and if there's one that they got to have on the route in the morning, well, he's got to go make sure it's ready to roll at whatever time they load those trucks and get them out on the street. So pray for Brother Pryor. I miss him when he's not here. All right. Thank you, Lord God, for your goodness and mercy. Hallelujah. Oh, Lamb of God, I appreciate you and your goodness. Thank you, Lord, for the body of Christ. This assembly, Lord, keep your hand on us. Keep working in our lives. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. All right. Shake hands and be friendly. Sure, good to be having Sister Holly around here a little more often. Appreciate that. playing in the band tonight. Maybe she's going to go back to work. All right. God bless you.